try to preach a little bit tonight out of this scripture. Hope the Lord will help us in this. Had intended to preach this morning. God had different ideas the way the service should go this morning. And so I sure do thank Him for what He did this morning, how good He is. But I appreciate His goodness and how He blessed us this morning. Thank God for His movement always, His touch, always. What a blessing. Numbers chapter number 13 tonight. You pray for us. God help us in the message tonight. We find as we begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to jump back also and read verse 16 in chapter 12, and we'll look a little bit at this. Hopefully the Lord will help us in this. Let's stand for reading of God's Word, if you will, tonight. We'll read these few scriptures here, try to be brief tonight, but I just want to give you what the Lord's burdened my heart with. And upon this, we find the children of Israel here in a place of decision. We find them here in chapter number 13. They've come all the way out of the land of Egypt. They got there to Mount Sinai. God's given them the law. God's given them the pattern for the tabernacle. They've got their tabernacle built. And they began their march and their journey. And the other thing, next thing that's in their sights, the next place they're headed, is to the promised land. It's Canaan. And they're on their way. I mean, they're marching and they're in that direction. And if you notice verse number 16 there in chapter 12, the Bible says, "And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." Now if you notice, and I've not got a map really to show you, but when you go home, if you'll study that place there of Paran, it's kind of in the lower part of that peninsula there, if you will, in that area there. And I got to looking at it. It's kind of amazing to me. I want to do a little more digging into it myself, if you can, when you go home. But we find the place where they finally go in and take the promised lands in Jericho. And Jericho is way up above Paran there. It's all the way up here, if you will, beside, I guess, and they come across the Jordan River up here. But Paran's down here in the bottom of that peninsula there, if you will, down at the bottom. And I began to look at this, and I began to think about, that's a long ways to Jericho. From Paran up to Jericho, where Jericho's at, that's a long ways. And you say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do?" Well, if you notice in chapter 13, verse 1, they began to send out the spies from all the way down in Paran there. And I thought that was just a kind of an unusual fact there. We'll study a little bit more about that later on. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, and which I give unto you the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, ye shall ye send out, or send a man of every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And if you notice in the scriptures there, chapter 4 down through verse number 15, he names all those that went in, if you will, the 12 that went in there. Verse number 16 says this: "These are the names of these men, the men which Moses sent to spy out of the land. And Moses called Ocean, the son of Nun, Jehoshaphat. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up to the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether there be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long suffering. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've done for us, how good you've been to us. Lord, we just want to thank you again for loving us, caring for us. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, Lord, that we preach tonight. Lord, I pray you'd touch us. Lord, you'd hide me behind the old rugged cross that I'd never utter a sound. Lord, I'd not say a word. Oh, God, but you'd speak those words that needs to be heard here tonight. Oh, God, speak to our hearts through thy word. Lord, I pray that it go out, find lodging places in people's hearts, that it bring forth repentance. Lord, I ask. Oh, God, help us tonight. Give us fresh oil and fresh unction, Father, we pray. Lord, I beg you, God, again, that you'd be with each one that's not here tonight for whatever reason. I pray, God, you touch them in a special way and show them a need to be in the house of God. Use us for thy glory and thy honor tonight. Lord, whatever's accomplished, I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to pick up there in verse number 13 is where we want to look. But we're also going to jump back into chapter number 11 and then also in chapter number 12 before we go much farther in this. And I want to try my best to be brief tonight. I want to try just to give you what God's laid upon our heart and try to be brief. But I do want to give you what God has given us tonight. As I began to look at this, I began to see the children of Israel in a place of decision here, if you will. God has been good to them. They've been in bondage for 430 years, and God's brought them out of the land of Egypt and has delivered them out of the land of Egypt, amen, and brought them up. I'll give you a good little side note right here. I got to thinking about Moses. We were talking to somebody the other day. I don't remember exactly who it was, but we got talking about Moses there and how Moses there delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt there. But if you remember, Moses there was with the Egyptians there and was raised as an Egyptian and was supposed to be heir to the throne as Pharaoh, but God didn't let him be heir to the throne. And if he'd got to that place, he could have let God's people go. But he did. God moved in his life there, brought him out to the backside of the desert, let him stay there a little while, and then brought him back to deliver the children of Israel. I thought that's pretty good because that's God's plan. Amen. He didn't just let him go, but God delivered his people, amen, from that place. They brought him out there. He gave them the laws, I said a minute ago. He gave them the pattern of the tabernacle. They got it built. They get here to Kadesh Barnea there, and they stop there in Paran there, and they stop, and God tells them, and God tells them to send out those spies into that land. And as I began to think about here, I began to think as we could read on over in the chapter there, and even in chapter 14, as we'll get to here in a minute, I got to thinking about them spies coming back and giving that account of what it looks like there. They said, man, let me tell you, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, I'm telling you, it's a fat land. I'm telling you, there's wood everywhere. I mean, it's got good things everywhere you look. They said, but there's giants in the land. But these people lived in walled houses. These people lived in gated cities. And there's no way we can go in. And as I began to think about this, I began to think about the decision that had to be made in their lives. There was something that had to be decided inside of their life. And you say, preacher, what was that? It was whether to go in or whether not to. Amen. And I got to thinking about as I began to look at this, and God gave me the thought about this. What is stopping us? What is stopping us? Church, I believe this. I believe there's a promised land out there. There's a Canaan out there that you and I should be living in. Amen. I believe God has got a Canaan land out there. He's got a land of promise. He's got a perfect land out there, if you will, spiritually speaking, and we should be living in that land. Amen. I believe every one of us should be living there. By the way, let me say this. Canaan land there in the land of promise. And Jordan River is not a picture of death, okay? You can study it in your Bible. It is not a type of death and a picture of death, as the song says, and we portray it so many times. But what it is a picture of your spiritual Christian living, if you will, or your victorious Christian living, and how you're to live victorious over the devil and over the flesh and live the way God wants you to live. Do you agree with me there? Say amen. I believe that. I believe as we look into that scripture there, I believe that's what we see, a type of the children of Israel there when they go into the land of promise there. And they're living, if you will, where God wants them to live, in the fatness of the land. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I'll have to pull up brakes here and just stop just a minute and say this. I like to live in that place. Amen. I'll say this very quickly tonight.
There'll not be any place in your life that you will lack or you will love or you will desire any more than being in the center of God's will. If you ever get to that place where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're in God's will, then that place is the perfect place to be. Somebody say amen right there. There ain't no better. Amen. Listen, there ain't no better than that place. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're right exactly where God wants you to be. Well, had the children of Israel looked at those spies that come back and said this, said it don't matter how big the giants are, we're still going in. It don't matter how what the obstacles is, we're still going in. You know what had happened? They'd have been in the center of God's will. Amen. They could have been living in that place. Oh, what a place. Amen. And you and I, we can live in that same place, spiritually speaking. We can be where God wants us to be. We can be living the way God wants us to live. Amen. We can walk the way God wants us to walk. I believe we can do that, church. I really do. God commands us to in His book, and He would not tell you to do something if it wasn't not able to do it. Amen. I do believe that. So with that thought in mind, I want to ask ourselves the question tonight, why are we not? Just as simple as I know to put it, this is what God gave me. It's a simple little child can understand it tonight. Amen. What's stopping us? Amen. What's stopping you from entering into the promised land? Now, as I look at the children of Israel here, I'm going to give you four things that I believe is evident in the scriptures here that kept them out of the promised land. These four things that I find. And as I began to look at these, I thought to myself, Lord, I see all four of them in our churches today. I see all four of them sometimes in my life and your life. We see them evident in the scriptures, but we also see them in our life. Number one, I believe we're dwelling on physical things. Amen. I believe we're dwelling on physical things. Notice, jump back with me to chapter number 11 and verse number 4. Chapter number 11 and verse number 4 through verse number 6. Again, the children of Israel, we come out of the land of Egypt. They're there. They're getting ready, and they're on their way. They're marching there. And in chapter number 10 there, the last few verses there talks about how there they took the Ark of the Covenant before them, and they began to follow God. And the cloud by day and the fire by night. And they began to follow God, walking His footsteps and everything. And they get to chapter number 11, and the murmuring begins. And the complaining begins. Bound to be in Baptist. Somebody say amen. Bound to be in Baptist. Amen. But I say this. This human. Amen. You know what we like to do? We like to complain, don't we? Amen. But you know what the problem with that is? Most of the time when we're complaining, we're dwelling on physical things. We're dwelling. When we begin to complain, we begin to complain about our physical things, about the things that are happening to us, about the things that we can see and the things that we can feel and those stuff, if you will. We begin to complain about those things. Notice with me, if you will, verse number 4 of chapter number 11. And the Bible says this, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You know what they're doing here? They're looking at what they've got. I guess I could put it this way. They're more worried about their belly than they are going into the promised land. That's got to be Baptist. Somebody say amen there. They're worried more about what they're going to eat. They're worried more about what they're going to put in their mouth than they are getting to the promised land where God's going to feed them with milk and honey. And you remember the scripture over there where the Bible says when they came back out of that place, I believe chapter 13 there, when they came back out of the promised land there, they had a cluster of grapes that they had to take a staff and put it between two men and carry that grapes there, them grapes. And I mean, it's a land of milk and honey. But back here, they're worried about what they're going to eat. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, listen, God's always supplied your needs and He'll continue to do that. Amen. I'll guarantee you, ain't one of you junior missed a meal. I can tell by looking at you, we ain't missed no meal. Somebody say amen, huh? Oh no, we ain't missed none. But we worry so much about physical things. Notice the first statement in that scripture there that I read to you. In that verse number 4 there, the Bible says there was a mixed multitude that was among them. They fell a-lusting. Well, that's the lust of the flesh, ain't it? They began to lust after things, and they began to look and began to let the flesh take over. Church, I'm going to tell you tonight, if we're going to get into that promised land, we've got to quit lusting after the flesh. Amen. We've got to. The Bible says, Paul said this, I crucify the flesh daily. Amen. He said, listen, we got to crucify the flesh. We can't have the flesh taking over. If you do that, you will never enter into the promised land. Amen. We'll never get there as long as we're letting the flesh lead. Amen. As long as we're worried about what we're going to put in our belly, or we're worried about the things, the material things, as long as we worry about that, you'll never get to the place where you need to be with God. Amen. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, until we embarrass ourselves, he said, we'll never get close to God. I believe that's about right. Amen. Until we embarrass the flesh, until we crucify the flesh, we can't get nowhere near God. Amen. Listen, the Bible says that the world in enmity, it has nothing to do with God. Sweet water and bitter water don't come out of the same fountain. Amen. Listen, I look at this and I see that if we dwell upon physical things like the children of Israel did here, we can never get into that promised land. Oh, but I want to, amen. Hope you do too, amen. Oh, listen, notice with me in that verse number 5, verse number 6 there. The Bible says this, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Now you know what's happening right here? They're going back to Egypt. They're going back to the old place where God brought them out of. If you'll study the scriptures just a few chapters before, you know what they're doing? They're crying out, oh God, deliver us. Oh God, deliver us from these taskmasters. Get us out of this place. Get us out of this bondage. And now God's brought them out, done a great work, crossing the Red Sea, done all this, and now they're worried. Oh, I remember back yonder in Egypt, boy, we used to eat fish. Notice, read on, what's the Bible say? As we read on, not only the fish, but he says this. He said, we remember the fish we did eat freely, in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They said, boy, we remember back there, we ate good when we was there in Egypt. Oh, can I say this to you? When you're in sin, amen, it'll occupy the flesh. The flesh will like that. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Amen. And what happens is our flesh gets the best of us and we begin to dwell upon the fleshly side, if you will. And when that happens, our minds will go back there, if you will, to those places where sin, oh yeah, sin will give you a little pleasure for a little while, but it'll not take you into the promised land. Amen. And we'll go back to those places. I notice also in this scripture, he says this, man, we've got cucumbers, we got all these good things, leeks and the onions and the garlic. And notice verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna. I thought, oh wow, nothing but this manna. This manna sent from God. I'm talking about heavenly bread. And they're tired of it. That's what happens, amen. You know what will keep you out of the Canaan land, now that promised land? You get to the place you don't want to hear the bread from heaven. You're tired of the bread from heaven. Boy, you get to that place, you're a sad place. Amen. Amen. We got to crucify this flesh. And if it ain't, listen, if you ain't careful, you'll get to the place where this flesh does not like the Word of God. Okay? You'll get to the place where you don't even want to study. You don't even want anything from the bread. Amen. You don't even want it from that, from God, if you will. I look at this and I see, he says there, he says, the only thing we see at all besides this manna before our eyes. He said, we don't even like to look at it. Well, that's what flesh is, ain't it? Flesh don't like his preaching tonight. Amen. Flesh don't like hard preaching. Amen. We don't like it. Amen. Oh, but it'll work. Amen. Listen, the only way we're going to get into the promised land is we've got to get rid of the flesh. We've got to crucify the flesh. Quit dwelling upon the flesh. This is exactly what kept the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, or out of the land of Canaan there, and going into the promised land as they dwelled on the flesh. Number 2, let me show you verse number chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And this is going to be kind of hard to swallow, but God give it to me, so I'm going to preach it. So you just hang on. Buckle your seatbelts, all I know, tell us. Amen. As we look at chapter 12, verse 1, not only, I believe, are we dwelling on physical things, but I believe sometimes disguising jealousy will keep you out of the land of promise. Notice with me verse number 12, or chapter number 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, I got to looking at this, and by on first value, we began to look and we think in our minds, well, maybe Moses shouldn't have married that lady. And maybe that's the reason Aaron and Miriam there began to speak against Moses there. But I don't believe that's the case. Had that been the case in verse number 2, then what Aaron and Miriam would have done, they'd have looked at Moses and they'd said, Moses, that wasn't right. They would have even maybe have spoke the reason that it wasn't right in verse number 2. But what happens in verse number 2? Notice with me, as the Bible reads here, he says, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? You know what I see right here? I see jealousy. That's what I see right here, jealousy. They didn't say anything about the woman he'd married. They didn't say one word about it. But it was more about God speaking through Moses. And they were saying, hey, is he speaking through Moses only? Has he not speaking through us as well there? There was jealousy there, I believe, on the part of Miriam and Aaron there. As we look at that, I believe there was jealousy there between them. Oh, listen to me today, church. That's a dangerous place to be. Amen. Oh, everybody ever heard that old saying, the old green-eyed monster? That jealousy, amen. That jealousy will keep you out of the promised land. I began to look at this, and God gave me went a little deeper in this. And you might say, oh, preacher, I ain't got jealousy. Well, let's back up and let's look a little deeper, if you will. Before that jealousy could develop, there must have been an ought in between them. Everybody agree with me there? Say amen. I believe this from the depths of my heart. Every place you see jealousy, you take it all the way back, you trace it back, you'll find a place where there is an ought between those two. Amen. There is something that comes between those two. That's what causes that jealousy. Amen. Church, I'm here to tell you today, if we've got oughts against anyone, whether it's in our church or whether it's out anywhere else, if you've got an ought against anybody, you'll not make it into the promised land. Amen. You'll not make it there. Amen. The Bible speaks over there in the Gospels there, and Jesus told them this. He said, if you find that somebody has an ought against you, he said, you leave your offering here at the altar and you go back and you be reconciled to them, and then you come back. Amen. And then you come together. Amen. The Bible says also in Galatians chapter 6, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to make a statement right here. There is no place in the church of God for oughts, okay? There's no place in the church of God for jealousy, okay? There's no place for any of that. And if you've got that in your heart, you will not dwell in the promised land. You will not be right with God in any manner, amen? You'll not get there, amen? And by the way, you'll be hindered, your family will be hindered, and you'll hinder the church if you get to that place, amen? So if you got that, you better chunk it. Amen. That's the only way I know to tell you. You better chunk it if you're going to go to the promised land and you're going to live in the promised land. The only thing you can do is chunk that stuff. Amen. And ain't nothing but of the devil. Amen. Amen. It ain't nothing but of the devil. Listen, there's jealousy busted churches all around. Now listen, there's jealousy busted people up. Listen, there's no place in the house of God for that. Listen. Amen. I believe that, church. I do. You say, preacher, why in the world would you preach that here? I don't know. God told me to preach it, so I'm going to preach it. Amen. He gave it to me. Maybe it's just preventive maintenance. Amen. But if you've got something in the heart against somebody else, you better get that right. Amen. Or our church will never go anywhere. You'll never go anywhere. Amen. And we'll not dwell in the promised land. I'll promise you that. Disguise and jealousy. That's the thing about it. And this is the thought that God gave me. Disguise and jealousy. I thought as I began to look at this, verse number 2 is where they brought it out. But how far back, and I didn't really research it, how many years before that had Moses married that lady? How many years before that had they have actually harbored, if you will, that jealousy that brought it up, if you will, that jealousy that finally brought it to a head, if you will? I believe what happens a lot of times, we may have jealousy and it may be disguised. We may keep it down inside of us. Oh, it's down inside of us and it just eats out. It's like a little old cancer. It gets in there and it eats a little bit at a time. And it begins to eat and it begins to eat and it begins to get bigger and get bigger and get bigger. If you ain't careful, what that is disguised will destroy you and everything else around you. Amen. I believe tonight sometimes that jealousy is disguised. And what I believe we need to get rid of, if it's disguised, you better bring it out. Amen. We got to get rid of it. Number 3, let me move on. I believe not only are we dwelling upon things of the flesh, I believe number 2, we're dwelling, or physical things, I believe we're disguised in jealousy. But number 3, I thought we're discouraged by the conquest. Notice with me back in chapter number 13 and verse number 25, if you will. This is the count of that they brought back. They went into the land there and they come back. And I notice in verse 25 down through verse 33, I'm not going to take time to read it all, but I do notice in verse 25, the Bible says this, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. I'd never seen that before. After 40 days. You may have, if you did, you're a bigger Bible scholar than I am, okay? Had no idea. We have in our minds that they sent them out to spy the land and maybe 2 days later they come back. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says that it took them 40 days to go out and to spy out the land. The word, the number 40 is, if you will, a number of judgment, if you will, a number of testing in the Bible. And as they went out there, I can imagine the children of Israel sitting here waiting on them to come back with the report for 40 days. That's a pretty good long time, ain't it? For 40 days sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. They didn't wait long. They just waited and they waited and they waited and they waited. I got to thinking about, boy, it takes patience to wait, don't it? That's something else us Baptists don't have. That's something else I don't have, us men don't have. Somebody say amen right there. You women can say amen right there, okay? Huh? That patience, they waiting and waiting. I believe as we began to look at this, and we all know the account, if you'll read on with me just a little bit, verse number 27, I believe it is. The Bible said, verse 27, he says this, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Boy, they said, man, this place is something else. They waited 40 days, and I can imagine by the time they got back, they're tired of waiting and they're listening, they're wanting to hear something good. And they told them, they said, boy, this place flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's a good land. Boy, it's a good place for us to live. Man, it's good. But then notice verse 28, the first word. Nevertheless, I say one more time, bound to be Baptist. Nevertheless, amen, it's always negative, amen. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now notice in that verse, just that verse 28. I'm not going to look at the rest of it. You can study it when you go home. Just in that one verse, in that one statement, he says there, he says, nevertheless, that brings negative right there. The people be strong that dwell in the land. I got to thinking about conquest. First thing they tell them is, oh, it's a good place. Man, them folks are strong. I mean, them folks are strong. They can fight. Huh? I got to look at this and I thought to myself, oh, what a negative report they brought. He said they're strong. Notice what else he says here. Not only are they strong, but he says this. He says they and the cities are walled. He said they're plumb high. There's no way we can get over them walls. And very great. He said these walls are bigger than, not only are they tall, but he said they're huge. We can't break through them. We can't get through all this. And then the last things he says there, he says, and moreover, even above all that, he said, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak were giants in the land. They were giants, what they was. If you study on down there, Verse number 33 there, he even said, we're grasshoppers compared to these people. We're grasshoppers compared to them. And I got to thinking about this. I believe what happened to the children of Israel there, they just got discouraged from the conquest. They thought to themselves, is it worth it? Is it really worth going in and fighting the battle? Is it really worth trying to beat against these walls? Is it really worth trying to fight these strong people? Is it even worth going in against the giants of the land? And you know what happened? They got discouraged. They got discouraged by the conquest. They got discouraged by what they were talking about there. I believe in scriptures over there, and I don't remember, it's in the book of Numbers there. I don't remember exactly where it's at, but there's another place there where it says they were discouraged by the way. I preached a message several years ago, and that may have preached it here, I don't remember, about discouragement. I believe discouragement is one of the greatest tools that the devil uses for God's people. Because if he can get you discouraged, you ain't going nowhere with God. If he can get you discouraged, you're not going into the promised land. Amen. You're not going to live there in Canaan if he can get you discouraged. Amen. If he can get you to holding your head down, listen, you're in trouble. Amen. I find nowhere in the scriptures that God tells you to hold your head down. He says, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. David said in the Psalms over there, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Amen. There's no place for us to hold our head down, church. Amen. But what happens is we get discouraged because of the conquest, because of the battle in front of us, and we'll get discouraged. And if you get to that place, you'll never go into the promised land. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They got discouraged and they wouldn't go any further. Arthur, they would not go in there and possess the land that God said, here's your land. Amen. He said, it's yours. All you got to do is go in. But they were discouraged and would not go on in. A sad place to be, ain't it? I want to back up just for a minute, and I want to say this. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to preach a whole message on this. Maybe God will let me preach the second part of a message of this message later on. I was hoping I could preach it this morning, this part this morning, come back and preach the second part tonight, but God wouldn't let me. But the thought came to me is how detrimental it is for us to be negative. Think about this for just a minute. 12 men, I ain't got 12 fingers, but 12 men, okay? 12 men, thank you, brother, were picked out. The Bible says in this that they were heads of their tribes. They were rulers of their tribes. They were the ones that were supposed to lead every single other person in those tribes. And God picked those, or Moses picked those 12 out and sent them into the land. So when they come back out of the land and they came out with that report, you know what the other people are going to do? They're going to believe it. They're going to believe what these men have said. They're going to take it hook, line, and sinker, okay? They're going to believe everything they said. Everybody agree with me or say amen? So you can see how detrimental that it was to the children of Israel that these leaders and these men came back out of the land there and looked at them and said, oh yeah, this is a good place, but. This is a good place, but nevertheless, these people are strong. These cities are walled. They're high. They're big. The giants are there. The negative report that they give when these men should have been coming out and said, oh listen, it's a beautiful land. No, listen, boy, there is giants there. There is people there. But God has given us that land. Let's go on in and let's take it. Amen. That's what the leaders should have been telling them. Amen. I say that to say this tonight. We need to be careful what we're saying. Amen. We need to be careful what we're portraying. Amen. Now listen to me, and I'm going to be just as good as I can be here, okay, to say it just as best I know to say it. But I believe in a lot of our Baptist churches today, we are coming in with so discouraged, and that discouragement rubs off on everybody else. We come in and we're more worried about folks sick. We're more worried about this one's sick and this one's had a heart attack. This one's got cancer and this one over here is this. And by the time we get to the place that it's time to really worship, we're so discouraged we can't get into the promised land. Amen. And I'm not saying anything bad against prayer requests. I'm not. But what happens is, and it's not just in our church. I've watched it in churches all over this land. I've seen it. Folks will come in and we're more concerned about the fleshly things and about folks in this position than we are coming in and getting into the promised land, getting into the heavenly place there. By the way, we should already been praying for them out there. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen to me. Don't get me wrong. I believe that we ought to come in and we ought to ask each other to pray for one another and pray for our prayer requests. I do believe that. But when that comes to the place of bringing detriment and getting us discouraged, then it becomes sin to us. Amen. I believe we're in the wrong place. Amen. I believe we get to where we can't even worship. So it's dangerous to bring, if you will, that discouragement, if you will, and it's detrimental, if you will, to each and every one around us. God help us to come in. I believe the Lord has come in shouting and praising. You remember used to be's quit flying, I realize that. You remember used to be's, they'd go to shouting before they got in the parking lot. I appreciate what Miss Kay said. And she told me this the other week. She said we ought to be praying before we come through the door. Said before we ever get there, we ought to be a pray. We ought to have prayed all this. We ought to be begging God to come in and bless our services. Amen. We ought to be doing that. And what happens is a lot of times is that discouragement rubs off on everybody. I've seen it so many times. God help us, but I've seen it so many times. Folks that open up service, or open up whatever, standing up. And I'm not, again, not in just this church, but other churches. Boy, I just don't know what we're going to do with our nation. Boy, I just don't know what this is going to do. He's just such bad shape. I just don't know what he's going to do. Huh? And we go for the first 15 to 30 minutes with that thought. Boy, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. Amen. Amen. We're going to look to God. Amen. And but when we get to that place, sometimes it gets so discouraged, we can't go any farther. Amen. Am I right? Say amen. I believe I'm on the target here, okay? I believe we need to understand that it brings detriment all around. Amen. I believe that. So I look at this and I believe these people were discouraged because of the conquest that was out there. But the problem was that the leaders was the one that brought the discouragement. The leaders, the whole leaders of the tribes was the one that brought the discouragement in there. Those elders, if you will, they were the ones that brought the discouragement in there. I want to challenge elders tonight. God just laid this on my heart. I want to challenge elders tonight to come in ready to worship. Come in fired up, amen. I hope you prayed for me all week. Pray that God would just preach me live and preach my socks off, amen. I hope you pray that God moves all over this place. I'm telling you, God's good. He's able, amen. Even the Bible says there in Psalms 23 that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, amen. He can give us a table right here, amen. I believe that. So I want to challenge the elders to do that. But I want to also challenge middle-aged young'uns. I want to challenge all of us to come in ready to worship and not discouraged because of the way. Can I sum it up this way? God's got this. God's got it, church, whatever it is, amen. Whether it's our nation, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial problems, wherever it's at, it don't matter. God's got this. He's even got that virus that's over in China. He protects his people. That's a good picture of it there. He protects his people in it, amen. I seen yesterday, and I was showing me there on Facebook, they're taking and doing a fog down through the streets of China there. I don't know if any of you have seen that. They're spraying a fog of disinfectant trying to kill that virus down through there. And my thoughts went back there to the land of Egypt when God brought his children out of the land of Egypt and the plagues that fell on those places there. And I thought to myself, he's God. He's God over that virus and he can take care of it. Amen. Thank God I ain't saying he's the one that sent it, but I'm saying he's bigger than it, amen. He's bigger than anything that we have, amen. So let's don't let discouragement keep us out of the promised land. It will if you'll let it, amen. I'll promise you that. It will if you'll let it. Now, let me give you number four, and I'll close with this. I believe not only is there a dwelling on the physical things, there is a disguising of the jealousy sometimes down in our heart. I believe there's also a discouragement of the, if you will, discouragement of the conquest, looking at what's going to have to happen, if you will, in your life in order to take that land of Canaan there. There's discouragement there sometimes. But then I believe number four, and I thought about this, is probably the worst one. There is a deficiency in faith. There's a deficiency in faith. You say, oh, preacher, it's the same things you just preached. No, I beg to differ. The discouragement that they brought back in their heart, that they brought back and they looked at what they seen there. They looked and they saw that and they thought in their minds, boy, that just ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it to go through that. The problem was they didn't have faith to believe that God could take care of that. There was a deficiency there in faith. Notice with me in verse number 31 and 32 in chapter 13. Verse number 31, the Bible says this, "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." If that ain't a negative statement, I ain't never heard it. Huh? I thought to myself, wow, no faith. We not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Let me ask you a question right here. Is there anything that God can't do? Is there anyone that God cannot conquer? Is there anyone that God, we cannot conquer through him? We can conquer the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We can conquer it all. I look at this and I thought to myself, what a deficiency in faith. They forgot God. I mean, that's the only way you can put it right here. When you look at these men right here and what they said, they have forgotten what God has done for them. They've forgotten the Red Sea that God brought them out of. They've forgotten the manna that God fed them with. They've forgotten the mount there that burnt, if you will, on fire. They forgot the law. They forgot the tabernacle that they had with them. They forgot all the things that God did. They forgot the quail that God gave them, the flesh that God gave them there in the wilderness. They forgot all those things, amen, and had no faith. They're worried about how they're going to do it. You say, preacher, I can't believe they done that. Just go ahead and raise your hand because we're right smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. We're right smack dab where they're at. That's a good country term. We're right smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. That's where we're at. We have forgotten what God can do. Amen. I say again, what's keeping us out of the promised land? What's keeping you from going into the promised land and living the way God would have you to live? What's keeping you out of that place? A deficiency of faith. Said, old preacher, I just can't do it. Old preacher, I just don't think I can. Now, you're exactly right. You can't. God can. What's keeping me from living victorious over the devil? Lack of faith sometimes. Amen. I believe it's a lack of faith. We look at that there. Look at verse number 32. Verse number 32 says, "And they brought up an evil report." An evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." We're nothing but grasshoppers. I got news for you, even grasshoppers with the devil. Amen. You don't believe that? God took a little old bumblebee, a little old bee, to feed a whole army. Amen. God can do it. I believe that. But the problem is we don't have no faith. The problem is our faith has gone. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Knowing God can take care of that. And he said, "Preacher, how in the world can I have that much faith that I know I can do that?" Tribulation worketh patience, patience, spirits, hope. And then he says in there, there's faith. Starts with faith, amen. Our faith can grow by the hearing of the Word of God. I believe that. But also our faith, looking back what God's already done in our lives, can help us ahead, amen. I think to myself, as I began to look at this, and I thought, God, help us, that our faith would increase. That we could have faith to know that you can take us to that promised land. I say one more time, God's not going to tell you to go into the promised land without providing you the means to do it with. He will not tell you to do something if he's not provided the way for you to do it. He would not be just in doing so, but he has. Amen. It can be done. Can I say that one more time? It can be done. Amen. I want to show you a feller in closing that agrees with me. Jump back with me to verse number 30. I believe it is verse number 30. The Bible says here, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome him.